All right. If you could take your seats, we will get started here. Getting started a little bit late. We've, between the cold, wanted to give everyone a chance to get here, and also had a few minor emergencies this morning. So, but we're all good. So, I will open us up in prayer, and then we'll get going here. So, dear Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for bringing everyone here safe so far. Pray that those who are still planning to come will arrive safely. Just pray that you would help us to understand what we're doing here today. That we want to glorify you through all aspects of our worship. And so I just pray that you would help today to be a beneficial time where we can improve what we do for your glory. I just pray that you would give us all understanding as we go through these things, and just again continually look to you. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, so the first thing that we're going to do is I've got some opening comments, so hopefully sub 10 minutes here, we'll see, and then we're gonna start doing some stuff. So, not done this before from this stage, but there we go. Okay, how many of you know the Westminster Catechism? What's the chief end of man? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, right? Okay, so how do we do that? Well, one way is we can proclaim truths about Him. We proclaim His nature, His attributes, what He's done, etc. But then you might ask, with what method? Well, we could just proclaim those truths, but we sing, right? This is one of my favorite meme formats recently, right? So I forced it to put it into this one. If you're not familiar with meme culture, this may not be for you. That's okay. This is how I teach at university too. Some of them are for me, some of them are for the audience. That's all right. So, but why do we sing, right? Number one, it's commanded in Scripture. You can go to Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, almost any psalm that you want to open up to, lots of them at least, will have some command to the people to sing. And why music? Well, music engages a different part of our mind than merely words do, right? It engages our emotions in a different way. It helps us remember things, right? I could probably recite almost all of DC Talks Free at Last from memory because it was set to music. And it was when I was growing up and listening to that, right? Again, I see this row right here. That's going over your heads. Who are DC Talk? What is this album you're talking about? What's an album? Okay. So, but then beyond just proclaiming truths about God, whether it's through word or through song, there's the, what's called the Imago Dei, right? The image of God. First referenced in Genesis 1:27, we're image bearers of God. And one way that we glorify Him is by reflecting His nature. And I don't know if you think about this, but one way we do that is God is creative, and so when we're creative, we're reflecting His nature. Now, hopefully we're doing it in an appropriate way, but we're reflecting His creative nature. So that glorifies Him in one way or another, whether we do it well or poorly. God is beautiful, and He does beautiful things. So when we do beautiful things, when we create beauty, we're also glorifying Him in that way. So why do we sing? I would say that it's a means of grace to us, in a sense. The music benefits. I think I may have changed my wording there, a bit of a typo there. But the music benefits us. For the reasons that I just mentioned. It enhances our connection to worship, and also our creative acts are a way that we are image bearers and we glorify God. Okay, now, you may have heard this before, that people say, make a joyful noise, right? this is Psalm 100, verse 1. Either the KJV or the ESV translation says, make a joyful noise. Other translations, do you know what they say? They say, like, shout joyfully. One thing I've often heard people say about music and singing is, well, I don't sing very well, but I was making a joyful noise, right? Mm-hmm. And, guys, I don't think that's what the passage means. And I don't, I want to be respectful of those who are older than me, but sometimes people saying this makes me want to say, you know, okay, boomer, right? Because that's not what that means. So we want to have our goals in music. We want to put in effort for effort's sake. We want to give God our best, right? We also want to pursue creativity, excellence, skill, glorify God by reflecting his creativity and excellence. Here's some biblical references to skill in the arts. God required skilled workers to make garments for the priests, skilled workers to cut stones and make art for the tabernacle. King Hiram of Tyre was helping Solomon build the temple, and Hiram recognized we need skilled workers to make this temple for the Lord because he's great. There's also references specifically to musical skill. When David Saul was looking for someone to play the harp for him, he said, find me somebody skilled, and David was a skilled person. Somebody I can throw spears at was not in the job description. That came later. There's references to the Levitical musicians. These references include references to vocals and instrumentation skill. The psalmist, Psalm 33, tells people to play skillfully. He talks about his own musical skill in Psalm 137. Sometimes skill and like authenticity are placed against each other, right? Mm-hmm. Like we talk about, I think that's a little bit of what people say with the joyful noise part. He's like, well, you know, it's noise, but it's joyful, but, you know, and I'm doing that, and this is good, rather than somebody who's very technical and doing it very well. And should they be? I don't think so. Give a little bit of an analogy. Many of you, once again, not necessarily the age group this is going to hit for, but you are the age group that maybe did this. When you're a very young child, you give your parents something that looks like this, right? And if you're 2 or 3, that's cool. If you're 15, that's not as cool, right? You know, here's your birthday card, Mom or Dad. And here's all of us, okay? So again, we want to be skillful in what we're doing and do give the Lord our best. Okay, let me just try and give you my own personal story here for those of you who don't know it here. I grew up in a pretty musical family, a relatively musical family. My parents sang. An uncle who's a music teacher, things like that. I sang as a kid in church and school, but I never was really trained. By the time I was a teenager, I didn't really do any singing. I picked up instruments. I'd done piano and some brass earlier on, but I focused on guitar and bass when I became a teenager. Didn't do any vocals for a long time, about 10 years ago, I was at a church in Connecticut. We lost our main music leader and male vocalist, one of our main male vocalists. And so that's when I started taking on some leadership roles there as far as doing some of the things I do now here at Cornerstone. Scheduling the team, picking out music, doing band leading. And that time, I started to sing with the team. I hadn't been mic'd up vocally previously. I started to sing with the team. And so I did that, but I was always trying to be with other vocalists who were more skilled than me. I mean, I didn't have any illusions about the fact that I wasn't as trained or as skilled as these other people. After Connecticut, we were in Lincoln for a year where I just did instrumental stuff. Came here pretty quickly, started taking on some of those administrative tasks, did some leading. Was the same deal. As I'm doing some singing, I'm wanting to schedule myself with Sean or Kaylee or Julie or or the other stronger vocalist. I was always very pretty transparent about that. At some point, though, when the church started doing more streaming, I started listening back to it, started talking to people. I'd been practicing my vocals throughout the weeks. Whenever I was leading, I was trying to get better, but I just realized what I was doing was not cutting it. I was unhappy with how it sounded. I mean, I always knew that I was a limited, imperfect singer, but I knew that what I was doing wasn't cutting it. So I was brainstorming with some people. I started taking vocal lessons at UNK. It was about 2.5 years ago I started that. And then since then, I can tell you, whether or not you may have noticed or not, I can tell you my range increased, my volume increased, my pitch stability increased. Now, I still am a limited, imperfect singer. I listen back to the streams, and I'll hear several notes every Sunday that I wish I could maybe have back. But it's fewer than it used to be. And all the other stuff, I think, sounds better. Again, so the point of the story is not to, pat myself on the back or anything like that. The point of the story is to give some context to what we're doing here, and to encourage the rest of you. Okay, so some of you who may have never had this sort of training, aren't familiar with these techniques that I learned that made a big difference for me. Those of you who are younger, so whether you're younger or older, and you are hearing about these techniques for the first time, you can still improve, and you can hopefully spend more of your life singing at something closer to your full potential and not kind of waste years like I feel like I did a little bit. So, you guys know this movie? What's the character? What's the chef's name? Gusteau, right? He's got this book, Anyone Can Cook. So that's kind of what we're trying to do here. It's kind of an anyone can sing philosophy. Now, does that mean anyone? When you have the anyone can cook, does that mean that anyone can be the chef at a 3-star restaurant? Right? It's only 3 stars if you talk about Michelin stars. Okay. No, but you can maybe learn to not burn the toast, right? Okay, and so that's what we're trying to do here for singing. We're trying to get everyone to level up a little bit. But whether you're someone like me who hadn't had any training in what those proper techniques were, whether you're younger, you're trying to learn those techniques, whether you are experienced, you know these techniques, and it's a refresher, and we're here to maybe get a little bit different perspective on some of those techniques from the people who are going to be instructing us, just have a refresher and continue to practice. Even the best athletes in the world still have coaches, right? They still have people who point things out to them. Okay, so what do we not want to do? Well, you may be familiar with this term in theology called the cage stage. You guys heard of this, right? This is especially in like Reformed theology, you learn things. It's like, oh, this is really important, and now I got to tell everybody, and it's like the most important thing, right? I've tried to not do this as I learn things. It's like I'm learning things, I'm starting to hear more things in other people, even while I'm still very, very, hopefully, I have a good perspective about my own skill level. I've got a long way to go from where I'd love to be, but I'm starting to hear things. So I've, tried to offer a little bit of instruction here and there, but I don't want to be in the cage stage with anyone. I learned these things just in the last few years of my life. So, or I could put it this way. This is another joke. This one's for me. Despite my advanced age, I do not want to be in the cage stage. So a few of you are going to get this. The rest of you, you can just ignore it. The other thing that we don't want to do is we don't want to interfere with joyfully praising the Lord. But I don't think that has to be an either-or thing, right? You learn these techniques, you get better, it becomes more fun when you're doing it well, right? When you play a sport, is it more fun when you are just dribbling around and heaving the ball up the basket, or is it more fun when you can, drain threes from downtown, right? Which one? So it's more fun when you're good, And so that's so we don't I don't see these things as being opposed to each other. Okay, so Whitney and Nathan are going to be doing the and Whitney especially, they're going to be doing the bulk of our instruction here. We're going to do some individual stuff this morning, and then some more group stuff this afternoon. That's the plan. So I will turn it over to them.
Yeah.
Did you have a PowerPoint loaded up there that I need to?
No.
No? Okay.
Yeah, it didn't.
I'll go shut it down then.
Yeah.
So, all right. I assume you want it that lower.
Yeah.
Just sort of a...
Yes, that would be a good assumption.
Also, real quick, I'm going to send, I'll find a pen, I'm going to send around kind of a sign-in sheet for what we're doing here.
Okay, well, good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to give Nathan an opportunity before I dove in, just to give a little context to what he does, and then we'll go from there.
Good morning. I'll make this really brief. So, says there, professional music producer. I think the one thing that is relevant to this is I work with vocalists. I coach vocalists in recording sessions. I've been doing this for well over a decade. So as it pertains to what we're doing today, I'm not personally like Whitney in the sense of, you know, years of experience in terms of knowing the technical side of things. But a big part of my job is pulling out good performances and performances that are worthy on being records that are meant to be heard by a lot of people. So as we're going through today, Whitney will probably be providing a lot more of the technical side of things. And hopefully what I can provide is a little more of the coaching side in the sense of here's how things sound now and here's how we want them to sound. And then Whitney can probably fill in the gaps on how to technically make that happen. So I'll probably be speaking more in terms of analogies and speaking more in terms of how the sound sounds and what we're trying to accomplish. And Whitney will probably be able to provide a lot more of the insight in terms of physically what's happening and how to accomplish that. So the rest of my experience is relatively irrelevant to today, but this is what I do for a living. So I think that's relevant to what we're doing today.
My name is Whitney, if you don't know me. I've been blessed to have extensive training vocally. In college, I was working on a music major with an operatic focus. Also had the privilege to sing in jazz ensembles and develop pop technique as well. But more than anything, the idea of growing in our musical skill for the purposes of glorifying the Lord in worship really just really excites me. Because just as Adam was discussing earlier, the more that we are growing in our skill, the more we're actually learning about God, because music says something about the character and the nature of God. And so as we continue to learn about how he made our bodies and how when we are using our bodies in the way that he made them to work to produce the sound, we learn more about him, and it's a really exciting, wonderful thing. So with that said, I thought we could start out by doing some warm-ups. So if everyone would be willing to stand... I will guide you through this. So I was gonna do this before, I was gonna do this after the warm-ups, but I think I'm gonna go ahead and do this now. So we're gonna take an informal oath. So everybody, raise your right hand. Okay. All right. I promise that I will do what I'm being asked to do. We will not make fun of each other. There is no shame.
There is no shame.
We are here to learn.
We are here to learn.
Have fun.
And glorify the Lord.
All right. Very good. Okay. So the first warm-up that we're going to do is called a lip trill. And what we're going to be focusing on doing is just trying to pass air through our lips. And it's going to sound like this. So Nathan, if you want to start on a C. Okay, so ready? Go ahead. right. That was good. Okay. Very good. So the purpose of a lip trill exercise is to really just think about how we are using our air as we're singing and passing it through. So sometimes, I even caught myself the second time when we were doing it, I stopped. I went, because I wasn't using my air. So we want to use our air consistently and efficiently. And when we do that, it'll flow through our lips into a trill. So that's a good way to kind of check how you're naturally just exhaling. So the next one we'll do, next few we'll do, has to do with what's called articulation or enunciation. So we're going to get our mouths moving so we can help kind of spit out the words here. So the first one we're going to do is a similar pattern to what we just did, a 1 through a 5. And we're going to sing Mommy Made Me Mash My M&Ms. Have any of you ever sung that before for a warm-up? Yep. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and start on a C again. And we're going to go. Mommy made me mash my M&Ms. And then go up a half step. Mommy made me mash my M&Ms. 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 One more. Mommy made me mash my M&Ms. Good job. Okay, so the next one we'll do, this one's kind of fun, and this one might get physical, but again, remember our oath, okay? So, this one's called Zingy Zingy Zoo. Have you guys ever heard of Zingy Zingy Zoo? Okay? Yes. So this is what we're going to do. Nathan, I'll have you play on a C, and we'll do that pattern. Zingy Zingy Zoo, Zingy Zingy Zoo, Zingy Zingy Zoo, Zingy Zingy Zoo, Zingy 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 Zoo. So let's do it one time slowly just to get it, and then we'll try to see if we can do that on a scale, okay? Zingy Zingy Zoo, Zingy Zingy Zoo, Zingy Zingy Zoo, Zingy Zingy Zoo, Zingy 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 Zoo. Okay, we got it? Okay, let's try it. See. Zingy zingy zoo, zingy zingy zoo, zingy zingy zoo, zingy zingy zoo, zingy 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 zoo. Zingy zingy zoo, zingy zingy zoo, zingy zingy zoo, zingy zingy zoo, zingy 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 zoo. Zingy zingy zoo, zingy zingy zoo, zingy zingy zoo, zingy zingy zoo, zingy 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 zoo. Zingy zingy zoo, zingy zingy zoo, zingy zingy zoo, zingy zingy zoo, zingy zingy zing zingy zoo. I think we can stop there. It's getting kind of high. Okay, so then the next one we're going to do is called Oh, What a Glorious Day. So this is a really good job or a really good opportunity to kind of, when we sing it, really kind of help open up the sound here and try to relax as much as we can in our throats. And we'll talk more about that. Yeah, let's start like on, is that an A? Yeah, yep. So let's start on an A, and it goes, oh, what a glorious day. Okay. Oh, what a glorious day. Oh, what a glorious day. Oh, what a glorious day. One more. Oh, what a glorious day. Very good. Okay, and then so for the last couple, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to do a simple pattern on a 1 through a 5, and we're going to sing on the ah vowel. And you know what? If we want to start on that A, I think that would be good. So we'll go, ah, and then we'll work up. Yep. Yep, and then we'll work up in half steps, okay? Okay.
Men in particular, when you're singing that ah, many of you, your mouths are kind of like flat, like ah. Open your mouth all the way, like ah. So that's going to help add space and allow that sound to come out so it sounds kind of like ah, so ah.
Yes. Yep. And we'll talk about that. Yep. So if we want to start that over again, and let's do that on the ah vowel. Ah. Good. So the next one we're going to do is on a pure vowel, but it's A as in fade, okay? So we'll sound like this. We'll start on the A. Okay? So the last thing that we'll do here, this one is an exercise for breath control. So what we're going to be doing, Nathan, I'm going to have you play, you could play just a regular chord progression in the key of D, just like a 1, 4, 5. And we're going to sing for 3 measures at 4/4 at 60 beats per minute. And we're going to see how long we can hold that breath out on that one note. And we can do it, if we want to go ahead and do it on an oo, okay? So it'll sound like this. Okay? So if you cannot hold it for that long, that's okay. Do it as long as you can, and we'll talk about how to stretch that out and how to get your air working better for you. Okay? So we'll go 1, 2, 3, 4. Off. Very good. Let's do it one more time. 1, 2, 3, 4. Off. Very good. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and have you guys sit down. Okay, so there's many different directions that you can take when it comes to thinking about improving your singing. Let me just take a drink here. When it comes to improving your singing. But I'm going to go ahead and give you four things to help you have your best singing life now. So one of the first things, so again, remember our oath here. I'm going to probably have you guys do, as I'm giving you instruction on these different techniques and different ways that we can improve our singing, there's going to be some physicality where I'm going to ask you to do things, whether it's kind of feeling for mechanisms in your throat or in your mouth or standing. So just hang tight. I'll let you know what I want you to do, when I want you to do it, but be open and prepared. So the first thing that I want to talk about is mouth position. So mouth position is a very important thing when you're learning how to sing, and it really depends upon what you're singing. But in for our purposes for worship, we'll be thinking more in like a pop headspace for how we are producing sound. So if you think of an instrument like a trumpet or a clarinet, you'll notice a couple of things. One, you'll notice at the end of those instruments that there's a bell shape to them, which is very important. And you'll also notice that a trumpet or a clarinet, these are solid pieces, right? So what does that mean then? It means that when you are putting air through those pieces, the sound is going to be consistent. Now, the notes may change, but the quality of the sound, if the air is consistent, will be the same. And the flare, the bell shape at the bottom, what that is going to do is it's going to help project the sound, which is why trumpets and winds tend to be pretty loud, because they have this natural mechanism built in to help the sound really project out. So in the same way, that's how we want to think in terms of our mouth position when we're singing. So the goal of kind of working on honing our mouth position is to keep our larynx in the same position. So how many of you guys know what a larynx is? Raise your hand. Okay, so as we're thinking about the mechanisms in our throats, God gave us what's called a larynx. And a larynx is our voice box. And the voice box is really two cords, two muscles that are together. And when we talk or when we sing, air will move through them, and the vibration of these is what produces the sound. So what we're trying to do is work with the way that God has made our bodies to produce the best sound. So when we speak, we typically do that in a very natural way that doesn't interfere with how God has made that. But when we sing, sometimes we have a tendency to do all kinds of things where we tense up, or we can force our air in a way that could potentially damage our vocal cords. So we want to protect our larynx, we want to protect our voice box, and we also want to keep it in a relatively same position, so that as we're making the sound, we're basically creating an instrument that will be consistent, so that all that we really need to do is manipulate the air that we're moving through it. And so so one of the things, so this is kind of how we're going to build out thinking about our mouth position. So the first thing is when we're singing, so just like the flare at the end of the trumpet, we're going to want our lips forward and loose when we're singing. So that does not mean overextended like this, like duck lips. We don't want to talk like that or sing like that. And nor do we want it pulled over our teeth like a horse. We don't want to sing like that either. It's just weird. We want our lips just loose, forward. But when you're thinking, particularly if you're singing on vowels, you can kind of flare out your lips a little bit. And that will help project that sound and get that carried out. So here's a really important one, and Nathan hit on this as we were doing warm-ups earlier. The corners of your mouth should have enough tension so that they don't bow out or become lateral. So lateral is just another word for extending outward like a smile. So if you feel your mouth, go ahead and take your hands and put them on your mouths. When you're smiling, just smile. You can feel, in fact, even take your fingers, probably be more helpful. You can feel how they're moving. They're moving out like this. So when we're singing, we actually want to try, we might have to move them out slightly, a little bit, to, depending on the vowel that we're singing, but we do not want our mouth to go like this, because we're actually going to be losing a lot of space. And we could be now putting our larynx in a position where it might raise. Because when you're smiling, sometimes your larynx will naturally raise. So we want to keep the corners of it. We want to have a fair amount of tension in the corners of our mouth here to keep it more more open this way. So the next thing is that when we're working on mouth position is we want to have our jaw in a dropped position. But so the difference here is that when you're looking at a classical position for your mouth versus a pop position, classical, you're going to have your jaw open a lot more. So with a classical, if I'm singing opera, I'm almost going to have my mouth like this on an awl, pretty far down. But with a pop, it's going to be down, but it's not going to be quite as far down. So this is a good way to kind of figure out the space that you need. Take your index fingers, place it in the back of your mouth in between your upper and your bottom molars, and bite down gently, okay? Now remove your fingers. That's about the space you're going to want. And so in the pop world, that's a term that's called the belter's bite. So I'm going to be teaching you techniques where you could technically use that to belt. But if you can't belt, we're not really going to talk about trying to make that happen today. But that's called the belter's bite. So when you're singing, think if you kind of even imagine that you have your fingers in there and you're as you're saying the words, it's almost kind of like you're biting down. You want that kind of space in between there, and that's going to kind of give you the distance that you need to get that space in your mouth. And I don't know if you have any comments on anything, you're welcome to. Yes. I have not defined. So belting, yeah.
Just for those who, like, since you're saying
absolutely.
Defined, so
yeah, absolutely. So belting would be a kind of singing that you typically will hear in a pop context, like on the radio, like Tina Turner, Mariah Carey. Does Taylor Swift belt?
No.
No, I didn't think so. I'm trying to. I don't really listen to pop these days. It's kind of rubbish. Michael Bublé, that's a really good one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Those are some good examples of belting, and there's different styles even where you're going to change that.
It's almost like an overexertion of air. Like,
yeah.
You're just pushing a lot harder. It's going to be a lot more forceful. And so when you think of someone belting, you're probably thinking like super high notes. It doesn't have to be super high notes, but a lot of it has to do with the amount of energy you put into it. Like,
mm-hmm. Belting? I could. I could do that chorus. Yeah. So this, we're going to be, later on, we'll be working on some songs just to kind of apply what we're doing. And we're also doing this tomorrow for church, so we'll be prepped. okay. All right. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. I don't know the words. So that's kind of an example. And if it were higher, it'd probably be even better. Yep. So here's an example of me not belting that. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. Strong in the darkness, new evermore. I sense they are many. His mercy. You can see that there's a little bit of a difference there. But here's the thing with belting. I think that you can, if someone really desires to do this and they continue to work on these techniques, I think that most people can belt. But again, if that happens today, great. If not, we really don't need to worry about it. And the other thing about belting is that it may sound like there's more force being exerted into it, but really the difference is the support. So it's not that I'm yelling it. It's not that I'm trying harder. There's a support mechanism going on with breathing. So all I'm going to give you the foundation of everything that you need to think through if you're really looking at seriously pursuing that. But whether you belt or not, This stuff is going to be foundational for any kind of an improvement.
Wait, may I?
Yes.
On that point, what she's saying is it's not coming from your throat.
Yes.
So it's not this. Like if your veins are popping out of your neck, that's probably not a very good sign.
In fact, if I were to do that, I actually wouldn't be able to get that kind of a sound because it would be more tightened up, like because I'm literally clamping and pushing those muscles together in my larynx. So we talked about bell-shaped lips. We talked about the tension in the corners of the mouth, making sure that it's more up and down rather than lateral. We've talked about the jaw and the belter's bites. We've talked about keeping that space in our mouth here. So the next thing is that when we're just if we have our mouth in a default position, more open on a vowel, we're going to have our tongue resting softly at the bottom of our teeth. And then obviously when we're speaking, it's going to move up and down. It might be behind our teeth. And then we're going to return it back down to that resting position here. So as you're thinking through putting all these things together, if we were to be thinking in terms of a long A vowel, an ah sound, what we're going to be doing if we have the bell-shaped lips and the corners of the mouth with tension this way, and the jaw and drop position with that space and our tongue, our mouth is going to look like this. So it's going to be kind of square-shaped. Okay? So then next here, this is going to be a pretty big tip, which I think will be really helpful. This really helps keep the sound forward. So sometimes when people are singing, the sound will go back, and it will sound...
especially.
Yep. And it will sound kind of nasal, or it will sound like it's in the throat. So we want the placement to be what in the singing world we'll call it more forward. We want it to be forward. We want it to be bright sounding. So you'll hear an over-exaggeration of this if you're ever listening to any musical, to like Broadway. You'll hear how it almost sounds kind of nasal when they talk that's because they're being trained to keep the sound very, very forward. We don't quite want it that forward, but we want it forward enough that we're not going to be pushing the sound back in our throat. So a good way to do this is what's called the singer smile. So again, it keeps the sound forward, sparkling, and we want to continue doing this even as we're saying words. So the shape of the mouth is going to change now. So here's how we do this. We take our index fingers. Okay, I want you to put it in your mouth behind your top lip and put it on your teeth. Now, can you feel, first of all, you look like a walrus. This is great. So can you feel this muscle with the tips of your fingers? That is the muscle that you want to move up. So kind of like, you see how like your cheeks are moving up when you do that? But here's, I'm sorry, I think I got a hair in my mouth. I think the trick is that when you do that, you do not want to scrunch your eyes or scrunch your nose. So you want your eyes to still remain open and relaxed. So you, right? So you want to have them open. So if you make a mask for yourself, right? Okay. Now try to keep the feeling that you had with your fingers in your mouth when you were feeling that muscle. So let's back up. Keep doing the goggles. Let's do the mouth in the ah position. And so we're going to do flared lips, corners of our mouth with attention to keep it more vertical. We're going to keep our jaw with that space, tip of our tongue resting softly. OK? Okay? Now we're going to raise our cheeks, but we're going to keep this. We're not going to tense this up. We're not going to scrunch it. We're just going to keep it open. So now what should happen to your mouth is that it should look like a trapezoid. So the top should be slightly bigger, and then it will come down and look kind of square. Yep. So again, if you're having, you can go ahead and put the goggles off now. If you're having trouble, so first of all, there's a lot of different pieces here, right? There's a lot of different components. So if this is all feeling overwhelming, it's okay. Focus on one. Focus on the one that you think might be the place where you need the most help. So for a lot of people, that's probably going to be in the space. You're probably going to need to focus on making sure that you have enough space in your mouth, because a tendency at either the space or the lateral direction. So the tendency, particularly when we sing or when we're going down, is to close our mouths and to want to go this way. So even just picking one thing will be really, really helpful.
As an aside, we're going to put everything into practice. So yes. I know this is kind of like the lecture part, but don't worry, we're not going to be sitting here the whole day.
Yes. Okay, so here are some things that we can do to kind of put all these things and roll them into one to help us kind of feel what this should feel like. So the first thing is I want you to take an imaginary apple in your hand. Okay, just think of the most lovely, juiciest apple. And I want you to take a bite. Okay, that's about what your mouth should be doing. You're gonna have your upper cheek flared here in that inner singer smile. You're gonna have your jaw open with the space, right? You're gonna have your tongue down. Okay.
It doesn't need to be exaggerated, so it's not like
yeah. That. Right.
It's like one thing that I think is really helpful is like this is how I do things with like my job is like you exaggerate to the point where it's like clearly wrong. Then you go the opposite where it's clearly wrong, and let's try to split the difference. So like clearly wrong is obviously too close.
Right.
See if you can split the difference.
Yep. Okay, so you got your apple. So that's one way. Another way to think about it would be this. And I don't know if anybody has a pen or a pencil, but you can take this and you can put it in your mouth like this. This is a church fund too, but I've already done it, so it's done. If I get sick, I get sick. So you put it in your mouth like this, and then you roll it forward. Okay? And so if you roll it forward, like take the corners of your mouth and push it forward to kind of roll it, that will give you, and then the one thing you probably have to look out for is you may need to just make sure that the singer's smile is in place as you're doing that. So like this. Okay. That's another way. Okay. So it's going to feel really weird. You're going to feel kind of silly when you're putting your mouth in this position. But I promise it really, for one, if this is of interest to you and you keep practicing it, it will become more natural. And you will have a quantifiable difference in the sound that you're making just by positioning your mouth in this way. Yeah, absolutely. So would you want to, let's see, let's do, yeah. So I'll go ahead and sing the doxology with a mouth where I'm not so concerned about what we've talked about. And then the second time, I'll do it where I'm putting in place all the things that we've talked about, okay? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Okay, so that, just keep that in your mind, and now we'll move with this mouth now, okay? I didn't change anything about my air. I wasn't trying to belt it. But did you guys hear a difference in the sound? Yep. So that will be a really good foundation to think of in terms of mouth position. Does anybody have any questions about that before I move on to the next thing?
I feel like the second one you were throwing out for, mm-hmm. whereas the first one was like way
more. Yep. And again, I was doing nothing to change my air. So I wasn't trying to add more air. Yep. So really, again, the position of your mouth and your lips can really help project that sound. So even just as you think in terms of amphitheaters, where there's a curve to it, that's intentional. That's because they're trying to help maximize the sound.
There's also like a double whammy to this because, one, it sounds better. And if you think about it more in terms of like color of sound,
yeah,
that's one part of it. And so it sounds better to have more of that open mouth. But it also physically is easier to sing as well.
Yes.
And so it's like a double whammy. It sounds better, and it's also easier. So if you're doing this right, it's like Adam was talking about how his range extended and he can sing higher. And a lot of that is actually because you're putting less strain on the muscles because you're actually allowing the air to flow easier. So this was a big revelation for me when I was in college, when I was taking vocal lessons, was I had a teacher who told me, you're a tenor. And I'm like, no, I'm not. He's like, yes, you are. And really a lot of it came down to just understanding shape, understanding airflow, making sure that, because I was like very tight, like I would just like be squeezing. And the interesting thing is, if you're doing everything that she's talking about, you have to work less to get more. And so this is one of those things that it's a little tricky at the beginning to like mentally comprehend. It's a little bit like we're talking about these like conceptual things. But once we start actually practicing them and we start actually singing through music, we'll be able to start pointing things out and hopefully identifying them really practically.
Yeah, and one of the, I'll never forget when I was doing voice lessons, I studied under a former opera singer, and she sang in Austria, and she was just a lovely lady. And she, I remember one time I was having a particularly tough time with a higher passage in a song, and she said, you just need to get out of the way of your voice. You just need to get out of the way. And what she meant was I was just so tense and there was just so much going on that I wasn't freeing the sound up, because when you're applying these different principles and you keep working at it, what you'll actually find is when you just apply the air, the sound will just come out. So you just need to get out of the way. So, yes. So the next thing that we'll move on to will be posture. So I'm going to have everyone stand. So posture is really pivotal for singing. Even as I'm talking, I'm not really using the posture that should be used for singing. We typically just tend to stand in a relaxed way. But when you're singing and you're looking to maximize how your body is utilizing the air, this is what you want to do. So imagine that your body, that there's a vertical line running from the top of your head down to the floor, right? And what you want to do is you want to first straighten out a little bit, right? So that maybe your head, because for me, I know that I tend to struggle with maybe slouching forward a little bit. So straighten that out so that you're in line with the vertical line. And then you want to think in terms of this. Think of your chest bone right here, your sternum. And you want that to be angled at an oblique angle in respect to the vertical line. So you want to think of it as slightly, just slightly, not like that, because you still want to maintain that vertical line, but you want to have your chest bone focusing this way, and then your jaw should be parallel to the line. I mean, if there's an imaginary line going from your sternum this way, you want your jaw to be parallel. So this is very slight. What you don't want to do is this, because now you're getting out of alignment. But you want the line to be parallel, and that what that's going to do is you'll notice that there's going to be a lengthening typically, and that is for me, a lengthening from the top of your pelvis here, your hip bone, to your epigastrium, which is this upper abdominal area right here. You're going to notice a lengthening there, and what that's going to do actually is free up this space here, the intercostal space on the side in the abdomen, to get as much air as possible. So if this is in place, this will help the next part that I'm going to talk about, breathing, really help. So be thinking these thoughts. I'm going to have you go ahead and sit down. And I'll talk about breathing, and then we'll put this into practice here. Okay, so along with that, along with the posture, once that's in place, then we're going to talk about breathing. So this is true whether you're singing opera, whether you're singing jazz or pop. There are three kinds of breathing that our bodies can do. You have the upper chest. You have the middle chest or the thoracic. And then you have abdominal, okay? So you have the upper abdomen and the lower abdomen. So when we breathe, typically, just take a breath in. What you're feeling is the upper and the middle portions of the breathing here, okay? So that is mainly facilitated by your lungs inhaling the air, okay? But the abdominal breathing is something where we're actually going to use the intercostal space. So this is for me, when I was learning how to do this, it felt a little upside down. But think of it in terms of this. You want to think of your abdominal core here as the foundation so that when you put air in your lungs, you can use that air effectively. And so this will be more like the support base. Your abdominal region will be the support base, and your lungs will be the air that you're moving through to use. So what that should look like is this. When you breathe in, you want to have your good posture, right? So you want to have proper alignment, and you're breathing in. But first, you're going to breathe in through your intercostal. So you're going to breathe in low, and you're going to have your intercostals take in the air, and they're going to go out. You're going to think in terms of expanding your intercostals out, and then you're going to, as you continue to breathe in, your lower abdomen will fill up. So you will feel packed full of air. So I want you guys to try that right now. You can sit up in your chair, but do sit up straight. And when you breathe in, think in terms of first breathing in and expanding out your intercostals like this, and then imagine the air going low in your abdomen, and then filling up the rest, okay? And so the way that I was trained to do that was as you kind of have to get the feeling of that first, of expanding out your intercostals and then filling up your lower abdomen and then the rest. I was trained to continue thinking in that space where I'm doing it quicker and quicker. So then, now that you've inhaled, as you exhale, you want to think of your lower abdomen going up and in, but you are keeping these out the whole time. So you can't let this go. You have to keep that out like this. So let me see if I can demonstrate. So as I'm exhaling here, this is still expanded out. So everybody put your hands on your sides here. Okay. So take a breath in. You should feel your hands go out a little bit and then exhale, but make sure that your hands are not going in. They should stay the same. Okay, do you feel this feeling where it's kind of tense and tight, like you can't breathe? That's very normal. So that's kind of the first step into learning how to breathe fully as you're singing. So when we're talking about, you guys can go ahead and put your hands down now. Yes, so really this is actually where, as a singer, having a very strong core is really, really important. And I need to get mine back because I've had a few babies. So so I can feel that since college I have some work to do. But you can see that really the strength here needs to be built up in order to maintain that. But as you continue to get this feeling of support, that's where actually when you're looking to work on belting, that's where that's going to come into play, because that's the support I'm talking about. You're going to breathe in and you're going to have that, and then you're going to hold that support in place with your intercostals. And then at this point, you're just free to breathe in and out, but your intercostals have to maintain a relatively stable position. So let me see here. So here's an exercise to kind of put the posture and the breathing into place so we can kind of feel that. So I want everybody to get up, and I want you to find a spot around the room where you can lay down. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Remember the oath, friends. Yes, you sure do. And you know what? Adam, I have a special church pen just for you. Okay. No, it's okay. I mean, whatever works for you is just fine. Okay, so everybody's laying down. Keep your head on the ground. So first of all, notice, congratulations. You have perfect posture right now. Yes, nailed it. Okay, so take your hand, place one on your side here on your intercostals, okay? Take another one and place it on your lower abdomen, just below your navel, okay? So now what I want you to do is imagine that you have a straw in your mouth, okay? And I want you to breathe in. Now, do you feel how your hand just went up? That's because you're expanding the air out in your lower abdominal. So now the trick is, when you're doing that, now focus on, now that your lower abdominal is going to expand the way it should, I want you to focus on feeling your intercostals on your side expand out as you're breathing in through that straw. So we'll do it again. Do you feel that? Okay, now what I want you to do is slowly breathe the air out through the straw so that your hand on your lower abdomen goes down, but your hand on your side stays in the same place. Are you guys feeling that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so is there any, let's try that one more time. Breathe in through the straw. Expand your intercostals out. Feel your hand go up on your lower abdomen, and then exhale slowly, keeping your intercostal hand the same spot, but your lower abdomen. Can you feel that? Is there any questions that anybody has while we're here? Is anybody not feeling this? Okay. Okay, you guys can go ahead and get up. I'm sorry, I'll give you some time. Yeah, now, come on. Yeah. So are you guys feeling that? Are you feeling the feeling of that? That's what you want to have as you're singing. So again, just like anything, just when we start doing anything physical, if it doesn't feel natural, it's okay. If you continue working on that, it will get better and better. But that is one of the main ways that you're getting support to help move your air as you're singing. So we've covered, as far as the foundations here of kind of what we can do, we've covered mouth position, and we've covered posture and breathing. So the last thing that I want to talk about is word articulation and vowel modulation. So vowel modulation would just be another way of saying changing our vowels. So again, there's a lot of technical detail that you could get into as far as what ought to happen when. But let's just pull back and look at the big picture. The techniques surrounding the idea of how we say our words and how we sing our vowels and what shape they are depending upon where we are in a range, that, again, has to do with the main goal of keeping our larynx in the same place, keeping it stable so that we can produce the best sound and not inadvertently damage our vocal cords. So there's a couple of main ways that we can approach doing this. One of the main principles is, as we go up higher in our ranges as we're singing, and does everybody know what a range would be? So a range would just be our capacity to sing from the lower end of the scale to the upper end. And so everybody kind of has, depending on upon what voice type you are, everybody kind of has different ranges. So as we go up higher, the vowels in our words should begin to open up more. So we're going to change them. So it's going to feel really wrong to do that. But if you do that, again, you're going to help free up the sound and maintain that space that you need. So I would say a good example of that would be like the word Lord. So if you're singing the word Lord, like on a D4, I was like, that's not, wait, Lord, the vowel on that is going to be more of a pure, okay? But if you're going up higher,
how high do you want to go?
If you're going up maybe,
a third?
No, let's do like a fifth.
That was a fifth, yeah.
Oh, okay. Maybe an octave then. Maybe an octave higher, maybe like a D5. Yep. So if you're going up higher, you're not going to sing, because what happens now? Now you need more space. The higher you go, the more space you're going to need in your mouth. And singing that vowel, oh, is going to close that down. So you're actually going to change that to more of either like an aw, as in awesome, like the New Jersey way, like the way my husband would say it. Awesome. Aw. Or even just an aw. So do you hear the difference in that? So we wouldn't say lod, but when you sing it, it sounds like an O. It will sound to the listener like the vowel that it's supposed to be. So what? Yeah.
One thing that she didn't say is actually how you close off the word is essentially what, quote unquote, deceives the listener into perceiving it to be something that it's not. So she's saying law, but if you go lard and then you close the R quickly, so you're, first of all, notice that she didn't do lar, like she's not sitting in the R sound, it's the vowel, but then how she closes off that word, Lord, that's what convinces your ear to hear that as an O instead of an A. And so that's just one thing is, she's talking specifically about vowels, but if you're thinking, well, how does that make sense? Well, it makes sense because of how you end the word with the consonant is ultimately what convinces your ears to hear it a certain way.
Yep. So, and that actually helps, that kind of helps move into the next point. So we're talking about changing our vowels to open up more. And I've got, unfortunately, I don't have the PowerPoint for you guys, but I can give you information on, there's charts that they have where if you're singing a particular vowel, they'll show you what one you need to move up to, because there's different ones.
Go ahead. I actually sent this to Adam, and maybe we can find a way of distributing, but there are some really good videos on YouTube as well that specifically cover this stuff. One is specifically on how to not have tension as you go up, and it's really entirely about just vowels, because that's...
Yeah.
So we'll provide some resources.
Absolutely. So the second, along the same lines, kind of the second thing to keep in mind is that words that contain diphthongs... does anybody know what a diphthong is? A diphthong. So a diphthong would be a word that has two vowels that you allied together. And we say them all the time. So a word like grace. It's actually E and E, grace. Or praise. Or light, I. Or night, I, right? So grace, praise, light, night, other common words like that. When we sing words that contain diphthongs, what we're going to do is, I'm sorry, I just lost track. So yes, when we sing words that have diphthongs, we generally want to focus on the first vowel in that diphthong as we're singing it. So it's going to sound weird. We wouldn't speak like this, but if I'm singing the word grace on a D, on the lower D, grace. So I'm mostly focusing on that, and then I kind of add the second vowel quickly at the end. But if I go up to an octave above, grace, I'm not even putting in that closed. Yeah, right. I'm not even going to put that in, because what that will do is reduce the space and clamp up my throat. So really, when you're going in your higher registers, you're changing that diphthong to a more pure vowel. You're focusing on the first vowel of that diphthong. Gre, prez, not, or Lord, laud. So a good way to kind of think about this, if it's not feeling like you're kind of understanding how to take it, is to think in terms of a Texas accent, okay? So you're not going to sing in a Texas accent, right? But when you're singing, if you're thinking of how they tend to move their vowels, they tend to open them up a little more. So if they're singing grace, they're going to sing gray, right? Gray, grace. And that's kind of the space you want to think of in terms of when you're going up. So think Texas. Think Texas. So an honorable mention also that I wanted to bring up is words that have an R in them. So sometimes words that have R in the beginning or that will end in an R. Again, Lord is a really good example. So words like more, mercy, praise, that R sound should be diminished, so backed off of a little bit, or in some cases just entirely dropped when you're singing it. So you want to think in terms of moving to the vowel when you're singing almost as quickly as possible, because you're not going to sing. So if we do His Mercy Is More, if we're going to be singing that, yeah, that would have been a helpful thing. If you're singing a song, for example, like His Mercy Is More, the word more on the chorus is in a higher part of, it's going to be in a higher part of our register. So if I really dial down on that R and I don't drop it, it's just not going to sound right. So I'll go ahead and do a demonstration. And I'm going to sing it with the R. So I'll do the first verse and I'll do the chorus. Yes. Yes, I did. Yep. Well,
since we're doing it tomorrow,
be sure to point at me
and
shame me.
Right on stage tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. So actually, what I'll do is I'll sing verse 2, and then we'll just bump right into the chorus. So here's what I'll do. We've talked about modulating or changing our vowels on words as we're going up higher, just on more pure vowels. We're talking about words that have diphthongs. Going to the first vowel on that diphthong and leaning into that and focusing on that. And then we're talking about words that have R's in them. So I'm going to sing it once the wrong way, and it's going to be over-exaggerated. And then I'll sing it again the right way to see the difference that we're hearing. So we'll start in verse 2. Okay? Okay. What patience, what weight as we constantly roam. What Father so tender is calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Kind of sounds like Kermit. Kermit the Frog. Okay, so that's clearly not sounding right. So now applying, changing the vowels, diminishing our R's or dropping them in some cases. We'll sing it again.
Can I make a little point here?
Absolutely.
Just think about also the tone of her voice, and it sounded really thin. Like, do you hear that? Like, how it almost had, like, no body to it. Like, it was just very, like, yeah, like, lacking in overall roundedness to the sound. So think about how that sounded, and then obviously paying attention to what she's doing with her vowels, but just really think about the actual color of the sound. I think that's, like, a good word to think about is color, like a darker shade compared to, like, a very light, thin shade of color. So when she sings it this next time, just, like, really think about how much more like body there is to the sound mm-hmm. itself, beyond just like the good mm-hmm. technique. Just think about how it sounds too.
Well, and before I go into that, just to piggyback off that, one of the things that is happening when I'm not adjusting my vowels and I'm focusing on my R's like as if I were speaking, is that the space is getting closed down. So the ability for there to be the term of when you are able to get a good sound is called resonance. So when you have space in your mouth and you're maintaining that space, you're able to get a good resonance out of the tone that you're getting. When I'm singing in this way where I'm not modulating my vowels and I'm focusing on the R's, I'm actually reducing my resonance just by the fact that I'm keeping my mouth in these closed positions. And if you really think back to what we were talking about as far as mouth position, if we're not changing our vowels and we're focusing on our R's, we're going to kick ourselves out of the mouth position that we just worked so hard to get into. So if you're trying to keep that open and then you say more, you're just clamping down. You just lost that space back here. So all of these things are basically ways to help maintain that mouth position that we talked about earlier. So I'll go ahead and sing with all those things applied. What patience would wait as we constantly roam? What Father so tender is calling us home? He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. You guys hear the difference in that? So just working on your vowels when you're saying your words and your R's will open up that sound and help you out greatly. Okay, so
there?
go ahead. No,
like
that's
one
fine.
Thought here. There are also varying degrees of all of this too, right? Like this is not like a black and white type thing. So there are varied shades, and we'll talk more about like singing in a group setting in terms of matching vowels as well. So how Whitney sings in terms of like vowel placement is there is like a personality to that, right? So like yeah. This is why voices are unique. And so if you're listening to a solo singer, there's like a uniqueness to that. It's not just because they're a unique human, but it's also because the way that they're actually shaping their vowels changes the coloration of the sound, and there are preferences to this. So, again, like none of this is like a do it this way, right. Don't do it this way. This is more of like here's how this alters the sound, and then let's work together to find, specifically when it comes to singing in a congregational setting,
right.
Making sure that we're working together on this, because we'll talk about this in a little bit, but try to imagine how she sang it the first time and how she sang it the second time now happening at the same time, that sounds pretty bad together, right? And so a lot of this is ultimately so that we're all on the same page and understand that there is a spectrum to this so then we can work together to lead music on a Sunday morning specifically so that we actually sound unified, if that makes sense.
Are there any questions that anybody has about anything at this point? Yes.
That point you made there is actually a big reason why we're doing this. It's to make sure that from here on out, when we're doing rehearsals and when we are spending time practicing together, there's more of an anchor to conversation. Because without any of this, then it becomes, hey, well, we got to do X. And you're like, what are you talking about, right? So this is more about trying to make sure that we're putting things in place so that way when we have these conversations, when we're doing a rehearsal, this isn't like you're speaking Chinese to me, right? You're speaking a different language to me that I don't understand. This is something where it's like we're having a conversation around this and we're like, oh yeah, like I know what we're talking about now, and we can have rehearsals that are more productive and also get results that are more productive. So the other thing is that this workshop is not meant to be an end. This is a start. And so this is meant to be pushing us in the right direction so that we can be having more of these conversations. But like I said, we're going to be spending time after lunch singing in groups. And actually, like I said, this is not going to be just like sitting listening to this. This is the starting point. We're gonna get into some pretty practical examples here once we start singing these songs.
Yeah, and that in terms of singing harmony, that's actually one of the main things we'll be focusing on in a group context.
Yeah, I just saw that Nathan put it really well. It's like, take both the way she just sang twice and imagine those going together. And I think that's exactly what's happening.
That is what's happening.
Yeah.
A lot of that is just a result of everyone has their way of singing, and so this isn't none of this is meant to be like y'all doing it wrong, right? Like this is more meant to be, let's make sure we're on the same page. Let's make sure when we do rehearsals, we all understand some general expectations and understand more or less how to go about doing this, so that we can be singing unified and together. And I'm sure that like when I lead, or when Whitney leads, or when Adam leads, or anyone. Like I said, this is on a spectrum, so some of these things vary a little bit. And so we're going to spend some time later singing together and demonstrating what not to do, and then more or less how to match other people as well. So yes, we'll be doing that.
Yeah, and my hope, too, had just been that in sharing some of these things, I think that a lot of that gap that you're seeing could also just be a lack of confidence. It could be that maybe we do know how to sing well, but there's just a fear there. And that's understandable. I mean, with all the experience that I've had, I still feel nervous on Sunday mornings. I will still sometimes get this weird tick in my foot. I don't know why. And it will just go crazy. So my hope is to help people feel like they have something to putting handles on this and have something to take hold of, that if they are wanting or trying to troubleshoot in their own voices, I'm wondering if I could do something differently here. You could walk home with this and say, okay, I think maybe I could try adjusting my mouth position. Maybe I could try taking a look at my air or whatever the case may be. Yes, Tom. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I praise God. I praise God for the opportunities he's given me. Yeah. Any other questions?
I think we're on for lunch at like 11:45.
Okay. Well, that's perfect then.
Well, we could even, like, if we're done or if there's no more questions, we'd probably use a couple minutes to set up tables. Because I didn't have to.
If we could take even just 5 minutes, my thought was we could finish this up by going back and redoing some of the warm-ups that we did and seeing if we can kind of reapply anything that we've kind of talked about here and see if for yourself you can maybe notice a difference and see if there's any kind of a change there. So let's go back, Nathan, to... Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So here's, would you want to run it? Would you want to kind of have, and then I can, so here's what we'll do is Nathan will kind of run similar warm-ups to what we did. If you maybe, probably the better ones would be on, we could do Oh What a Glorious Day, and then we could do maybe the legato vowels on the ah. And then, so what I'll do is I'll kind of watch and, I'll kind of give feedback here.
Yeah, we'll start with the Oh What a Glorious Day.
Okay.
2, 3, 4.
Oh, what a glorious day. Oh, what a glorious day. Thank you.
good. So I noticed some of you, it's actually sounding better. That's really fun to hear. I'm noticing some of you when you're breathing, you're doing this. So the shoulders are going up. That means that you have more space that your body can go, which means you probably want to straighten out just a little bit, lengthen that space between here. And then at the very least, again, this will probably take a little bit of work and practice to kind of get used to breathing with your intercostals. But at the very least, if your posture is straightened out, you'll feel the air fill up in more in your lower abdomen here. Yeah.
So if you're kind of doing this, then you're going to want to do that. And if you start with your shoulders back, like imagine like literally pushing your muscles right here backwards. Yeah, you're like
there you go.
Shoulder blades together. It doesn't give your chest anywhere to go.
Yep. Yep. And again, thinking in terms of it as you're straightening out your posture, you should feel lengthening. You should feel a space, get a gap growing here from here to here. Okay. All right, do you want to go ahead and do the legato one on an ah vowel? Okay.
On ah?
Yep. Yep.
Ah.
Ah. Go that fast.
3, 4.
A difference? Are we feeling a difference?
Are you hearing a difference?
I am. What I'm hearing up here is this time compared to last time, I'm hearing more of a projected sound, and it's sounding pretty. Like, it's sounding really, really nice. What do you hear?
Richer.
Yeah. Yes. Not thin. So that tells me there's more space that is being utilized when you're producing the sound. So good job, guys. Who you are musically, we ask that you would bless this time. We ask that you would help these principles to apply and apply them where they need to be applied, Lord. And once more, Lord, we just ask that you would be glorified in all that we do, not just today at this workshop, but Lord, that your name would be made great through song in our church, Lord, and people would truly be drawn to your beauty. And we lift all these things up in your precious name, Father. Amen. Okay, so we discussed individual techniques in the first half. And just as a review, we covered just four things that we can do individually as we're thinking about how we're singing. So that would be using the mouth position. That would be posture, breathing, and then word articulation and the vowel modulation. So in the second half, what I wanted to do was cover this idea of group technique. So when we're thinking in terms of singing together as a group, whether that's a group of us, you know, in a worship team, or if that's in a group, even just as a congregation, there are some different principles that we can think through on how to sing well together. So a question that I would have would be, how do we know when a group is singing well together? Any other thoughts? Ethan, any thoughts? Okay. If I need to move you, I will. Okay. I know. So, yes. The mark of good group singing is that you're working together in unity, so that you're not hearing any one single voice stand out, but that you're hearing more of a collective voice. So again, when we're thinking about singing together as a group, there's a few different low-hanging fruits that we can think of. So when I'm talking about these things, again, just as Nathan was making the point earlier, these are not hard and fast rules like we must do this or it's not going to go well. But rather, these are more like tools that we can put in our pocket to say, if something's not working, we can maybe think through some of these things that are going to be offered out here today as a means of helping to maybe problem solve or to fix something. So the first thing that I wanted to discuss was this idea of breathing. So we talked about individual breathing technique and how that would work singing-wise. But now, when I'm speaking of breathing in a group context, what I mean would be when we're singing songs, there are ways that we can breathe as individuals that can either help or it can hinder the flow of the song. So you can have someone singing a line and then they breathe right in the middle of it and it makes it awkward, right? Or you can have different people breathing at different times in a way where it kind of breaks up the flow of the sound. And so a good way to kind of think about breathing when you're singing together in a group is thinking about breathing in phrases. So does anybody know what a phrase is musically? Any volunteers? So a phrase would be a musical thought. And often an easy way to find phrases when we're singing worship, for example, is to look at the lines of verses or the chorus. And usually one line would represent one phrase. Sometimes a couple lines will represent a phrase if the song is faster. But, for example, if you're looking at the song, His Mercy Is More, the verse, What love could remember, no wrongs we have done, omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. So the first line, what love could remember, no wrongs we have done. That's one phrase right there. And then the next one, omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. So that's another phrase, thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. So those are four phrases. And again, that's pretty easy to identify because we're just reading the lines in the verses. There could be a potential that some songs, when you're doing them, have phrases that are longer. And you might need to use more of your air efficiently to get through it. But it's not always possible. And if that's the case, what you would do is you have strategic breathing. And so what that means is that you might be singing together as a group. And this is the beauty of singing together in a group, because if you need a spot where you need to breathe, as long as you're not breathing at the same point that someone else is and you're sneaky about it, you can get away with it. So I would love to maybe demonstrate that, if possible. Would you be willing to sing with me? Mm-hmm. So what I can do is we can work on singing verse one, and I will breathe. Let's do the whole verse. So on his one, mercy. What's that? His mercy is more. I'm sorry. Yes, on His Mercy Is More. So I will breathe on. We'll just sing the first line for right now, and I'll breathe in a way that's not a good way to breathe together as a group, and then. Yep. So we'll go. What love can remember the wrongs we have done. Okay, so go ahead and stop. So you can see I'm breathing in the middle of a word. You can just tell it's just not working, right? So but there's a way to breathe in the middle where you can be sneaky about it and kind of keep continuing on, and his voice will actually cover it in a way that doesn't make it quite as obvious.
What love could remember, no wrongs we have done.
So it especially works if you have more than a two people. But if you would breathe, if you need to catch a breath, get a quick breath, you can cut out a word, and then you can come back in quietly. So the trick is that if particularly on phrases that are longer, if you have people that need to breathe, just stagger it. And if there's a particular problem spot where everyone kind of seems to need to catch their breath, you can make choices. So you would talk together as a group, and you can either decide that one person's going to breathe there, another person's going to breathe on another word earlier, or it's a good time to maybe think through the individual technique that we learned as far as kind of shoring up our breathing and checking how we can extend the air that we have and manage it. Yes. Okay. Okay, so what?
Taking a breath after him.
Okay.
And then the one and the only. So if you wanted to demonstrate another example of like taking a breath in,
yep,
like between those phrases while I say the rest.
Yep. Okay, so we'll demonstrate this again. So we'll do the chorus of Only a Holy God. And I will do... So when you're sneaking a breath, that's called a catch breath. So I'm going to demonstrate a catch breath in a sneaky part here, and you're thinking in terms of right after the hymn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I would sing a whole.
Right. So let's break down the phrases in chorus one just so that we're all on the same page.
Hey, Adam, real quick, did you say that you had lyrics for people?
No.
Okay.
That would be perfect.
Yeah. Getting a printed out sheet was something that fell through the cracks.
It was too wonderful
for
us. So while Adam's working on getting that pulled up, let's just talk through the phrasing. And this is a good exercise, even if you're going to be singing in a group for worship. It's good to just take a look at the song beforehand and kind of plan ahead. For one, you want, and a lot of this, I will say, will be planned depending upon what leader you have. So they might have a particular order or structure in mind as far as what they want to do, and different leaders will change different things up. And as you'll see on Sunday morning, you'll sing Only a Holy God one week under one leader, and then you might sing the chorus twice, you know, on a different Sunday depending on who it is. So that will largely be determined by the person leading. However, a good way that you can plan personally and thinking in terms of singing together as a group is looking for those phrases, looking for potential spots where there might be areas where you need to be strategic or where it might actually kind of be a tough spot for everyone, and thinking through how could we solve that problem, and then having ears to listen out for what we might do. So for the chorus, the words are, "Come and behold him, the one and the only. Cry out, sing holy, forever a holy God. Come and worship the holy God." So the phrase actually, when you look at the chorus, the line, the first line, "Come and behold him," is only half of that phrase. The full phrase is, "Come and behold him, the one and the only breath. Cry out, sing holy, forever a holy God. Breath. Come and worship the holy God." So on that one, that's a pretty easy one where you might just need to breathe in the middle of that. So I'll demonstrate for you a way to be sneaky about it where he'll sing the full phrase, but I'll kind of get a catch breath in there.
Come and behold him, the one and the only. Cry out, sing holy, forever a holy God. Come and worship the holy God.
So I over-exaggerated the breath on purpose just to demonstrate where you might breathe, but the whole point would be to do it so that they're not hearing you go, that you're kind of sneaky. So again, sometimes you can't even help it. Just say you're in a pinch and you have you weren't thinking and you didn't even get enough air. Again, a good technique that you can use is to just drop a word and just silently kind of drop out, breathe on the word, and then come back in the following word. And again, in a group, it's just so great because everyone else is working together, so it'll be covered up and you'll be fine. Okay, so we're thinking about breathing. Another thing that is a really good thing to think about when we're singing together in a group are our entrances and our cutoffs. So I think this is probably one of those things where if you really worked on that as a group, it can really help to sharpen up the sound really, really well. So there are some common pitfalls as far as entrances and cutoffs. And it doesn't matter if you haven't been singing for a long time or if you've been singing for years. It's just really easy to just kind of be messy with this. So common things to look out for. So holding a note at the end of a phrase for too long or for too short. And normally what I see is that I think the temptation is to cut off too soon. And again, sometimes it could be because we don't have enough air, maybe, or also it could be that there's just a lack of confidence there. And we're not really sure when we want to end, or we maybe sense that no one else is singing, so we don't want to be the lone wolf singing. For entrances, another one would be coming in too quickly or too late or not at all. Sometimes that's happened. Or as a group, and this one is a particular temptation, I think, to end words at different times and to end them. And this is usually just, I think, when you're singing and you're not necessarily thinking in terms of singing together as a group. You'll end a word like fractions of a second apart from each other. So you'll really hear this on words that end in the letter S. It'll sound like a snake hissing. Yeah, exactly. You'll just hear all these different staggered S's. And so the best way to kind of think through this and navigate entrances, cutoffs, for one, is to know the time signature of a song. So a time signature, for those who may not know, is just the beat, the number of beats in the song, and the number of measures. So, for example, on Only a Holy God, that's a song that's in 6/8. So the beat would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So when you're singing, come and behold him, the one and the only, this is a good example of a cutoff that's too soon. Ready? Come and behold him. So there's still more beats on that phrase, but you lop it off. But if you're singing in the phrase, if you actually look at the whole phrase, you would sing it like this. Come and behold him, the one. Oh, I did it. Sorry. I did it. Let's try it again. Come and behold him, the one and the only. So you carry that out all the way to the end of that 6/8. So understanding the time signature of this song, and then probably the best way, especially on parts where it may be more tricky, is to just ask the leader or work together as a group to determine, we're going to end here, or we're going to come in here, we're going to hold this out for this many beats so that we're all on the same page. And Adam, did you have something to say about that?
Yeah, I just had one comment on this, which is, because I didn't see this in your notes, but just something I can mention, and
yeah,
especially for those who are already on team, this is kind of just one aspect of what we would call phrasing overall,
yeah,
right? Which is, yeah, where we're singing the notes, you know, where the, how long you're holding each syllable in the phrase, right?
Yeah.
And I've noticed, you know, for me, I practice these songs at home. Sometimes I come in and we're not all having the same phrasing. And yeah, sometimes, a lot of times that's me, but other times it's other people.
Yeah.
So my main comment here was just that that's something to be aware of. If you hear that people on the team are not having the same phrasing, then that's the thing to maybe speak up about and just say,
absolutely,
hey, I hear like we may be doing some different phrasing. Can we focus on that and work on getting on the same page as far as phrasing goes? You know, whether, yep, you know, certain syllables happen on the downbeat of a measure, or right at a chord change. Other ones, yeah, happen before or after by an eighth note or whatever. So I just wanted to point that out as sort of a broader topic of what you're talking about,
yeah,
and just for that to be a
a tool that we have in our toolbox when we're rehearsing to say, that's how I'm going to ask this question. You know, it doesn't sound like we're doing the same phrasing. And again, this the intros, the entrances, the cutoffs, those are an aspect of phrasing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I say one thing on the entrance side? I know many times the vocalists are in front of the musicians. And so one thing that I think would be helpful is, if needed, it's okay to look back at whoever's leading, or look at, if you're over there, look at whoever's playing the piano or vice versa, to see those entrances, because in many cases, I know Adam does this, there are times that we're making eye contact, and eye contact in a band setting is extremely helpful. You know, for example, if it's like a intro that just sits on the same chord for four bars, it's really easy to lose track of where are we in that time. And so if it's like,
right,
like it's as simple as just a head nod to know where the downbeat is, know where one is. And so it's okay to look at the, you know, obviously you can see the lyrics here. It's okay to look at the lyrics and then look back so you know what the first words are, and then look to make eye contact with someone back here. Because I do think that that is a pretty common issue, is at the very beginning of a song in particular, or between, you know, the first chorus and the second verse, oftentimes whoever's leading starts singing and the rest of the vocalists are like, oh, yeah, right, that's where we're supposed to come in.
And another one would be on the endings of a song as well. Michael? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and something else that I wanted to say too is, again, a lot of these things, so the things that I'm listing here in the group section are things that it doesn't matter how much singing experience you have, we can all be susceptible to this. And a lot of it is just training your brain to think in terms of, if I'm singing with the group, I have to calibrate in terms of the choices that I'm making and how I'm thinking about songs and how I'm thinking about all the mechanics of what I'm doing.
Yeah, and you're not on an island.
Yeah.
You know, it's especially like, you know, there's always that like guitar player who like just shreds and everyone else is like, dude, like you got to play with the rest of the band here, right? And singers can be the same. So, you know, especially if you're in a group setting, making sure, but yeah, just making sure that you're not seeing yourself as like, I'm the only one here, but you're really working to make sure that if you hear a discrepancy, especially during like a rehearsal, because obviously on a Sunday morning, you know, you're not going to go back and change it, but during a rehearsal, especially making sure that we are calibrating that and aware of that. And so when those things come up, it's more of a, hey, I noticed we did X. Can we do that again? Make sure we're all together on this.
Yeah. And along with that, and I would say this for everything I'm going to talk about in a group context, nobody is unqualified to say something if there's something that needs to be corrected. So no one should feel that they are above correction, and no one should feel afraid if they're hearing something or think that there could be an improvement. We should all have open hands to hear and collaborate, because if I'm focused on singing, but I'm not thinking about where I'm cutting my line off here, and someone else is hearing that, then they can bless me by letting me know and give me that input. So there's a way as a band where you can work together as well to be sharp for each other, and all of that just works to really help improve the sound as a whole and the unity. So another thing that I would say as far as group singing would be chord balancing and harmony. So what do I mean by chord balancing? What I mean is that when you are looking, when you consider a musical scale, so Nathan, if you would just play like a D scale. So that's a D scale. So if you imagine that every one of those notes has a number on it. Yep. Yeah, so would you say that in the microphone so everyone can hear?
Yeah, so it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then back to 1, just the octave above.
Mm-hmm, which could be 8 or 1. So every chord in a scale, a basic chord will have a 1, 3, and a 5. and that's a triad. So when we're thinking in terms of harmony, it's not a hard and fast rule, melody and harmony. It's not a hard and fast rule, but the melody often will fall on the one of that scale. And then the harmony will be on a three or a five. And again, it's not a hard and fast rule. It depends on kind of what's going on. But generally, when you're singing harmony, you're going to be singing in thirds above the melody line. So something that I've noticed that I think would be really helpful on our end, and this is also a sound thing as well, but we can do what we can do on our end. So one of the things that we can do is in chord balancing, you want to give the emphasis to the melody. So there's a couple ways in which you do this. One of them would be that typically the person leading and usually someone or a couple others are going to be singing the melody. So that in and of itself should be giving emphasis. And that's what you want, particularly if you're leading for a congregation, because most people in a congregation are going to be leaning in and hearing, listening out for that harmony or that melody. But if you're singing harmony, there are some places where it's absolutely appropriate and wonderful to sing harmony. But if you're singing harmony louder than the melody line, it's going to sound off. And at worst, it's just going to be really distracting and tough. And for some people, even, they may not even know now where what line to sing. So we want to be careful to sing chords in a balanced way and think in that term so that we're helping the song sound right. So something to think through also is that it is common that when you're singing harmony, particularly for ladies, when we're singing harmony, we'll be singing in the upper parts of our range, a third above the melody line. And naturally, when you're going up higher in your range, you're going to sing louder because you have that space and the air is just going to come out. So you have to think through, if I'm going to be singing harmony and that's compared to the melody, I'm either going to have to back off a little bit and I'm going to have to try to sing more quietly, or you can back away from your microphone a little bit as well and sing at a good enough distance to hear it, but not that you have to so much restrict the sound. Because there is a danger that if you try to back off too much when you're singing that high, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, where you'll close down the space and you'll close down the sound, and then you could just start doing some damage. So you want to be really careful with that. Did you have any? So I was thinking we could do 10,000 Reasons. And that Nathan and I would sing, did you want to do the chorus, just the first chorus? And we can do it. I'll go ahead and sing the melody. And then if you want to sing harmony the first time through the wrong way.
Like too loud?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not a problem.
Yeah. Another, I will say, so typically too loud is the way, but also you can sing it too quietly. Where it just kind of sounds like there's something there, but we don't know. So maybe you could even sing it too quiet as well. And then we can sing it balanced. So if you want
to
go ahead and
sing too quiet, it's a little high for me.
Yeah. Then just do it too loud. Or do you,
I'll do it too loud.
Do you want to switch?
That's not a problem.
Okay, I'll sing harmony.
Yeah.
I'll sing harmony. So I'll do it.
That gets pretty high, Mary.
Okay, so I'll do it wrong the first time, and then I'll do it the right way the second time through. Okay?
Yep.
Okay.
Two, three.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before.
So that sounded really ridiculous, right? All right, we'll do it again. We'll rebalance, and we'll sing it the right way.
Two, three.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name.
So you can hear now that the emphasis is on the melody, and that what I'm doing is just supporting that and helping to actually elevate the melody.
Yeah. One thing on that, the sound people should also be using their ears too. So that's just something to be aware of. Like if they're noticing it's too loud, they should be able to turn you down, but it is still worth, you know, yeah. Thinking through of how does it sound in relationship?
Yeah. So covered that. So the other, probably one of the final thoughts I would have on the group, one of the final thoughts I would have on the group context would be singing and thinking in terms of dynamics. So this is one that I think would be helpful from a standpoint of just really polishing things up and really helping to kind of give a refining touch. So dynamics is a term that really describes how loudly or how softly we would sing a song, but it can also describe the energy, because you can need to sing quietly but have an intensity there, or you could need to sing higher, like I just did, and still have kind of a lower or softer energy in that. So as a group, this is where, once again, looking at the song that you're singing together and kind of thinking through what the general flow and the feel of the song would be, and then making decisions about how we're going to handle that together. So you could actually take a song like 10,000 Reasons, and you could make it really high energy, or you could make it a little bit lower energy. And you know that this is true because you just listen to different versions on YouTube of the same song. And you'll hear in different contexts how people decide to handle it. You could have an acoustic version with just one person singing, and that's going to be lower energy. You could have a big concert with Matt Redman, you know, going to town. And it's just this huge, big deal. So communication as a group together is going to be really important. But one thing to watch out for is that you don't want to be the guy who's singing the same volume and about the same level the whole time and not thinking through, okay, well, if it's coming down and the instruments are backing off, you don't want to be singing really loudly, right? You want to kind of back down with that. If the chorus is really big, you don't want to be quiet. You want to kind of elevate that and increase your volume if need be, increase your intensity. So let's see here. And then something else that I wanted to just cover, and I was going to have Nathan speak to this, would be how to hold a microphone. So I think this is a really important thing, and selfishly, it's one of my pet peeves when I see people not holding a microphone correctly. So take it away.
Want me to demonstrate how not to hold the microphone down here. So I think it's actually really helpful to understand most microphones that you're going to have on a stage are called dynamic microphones, which means that they are going to only accept sound that goes directly into the capsule. Okay, so if I take the mic and do this, it just literally disappears, even though it is literally touching my lips right now. But then as soon as I do this, you can like all of a sudden hear it. So as I back away, you can start hearing less and less and less. So people that hold the mic like this far away compared to this far away, it's a huge difference in the sound itself. So I don't know, how many have heard the saying, eat the microphone? Yeah. That's because it needs to literally be like basically touching your lips. So when you're singing in a microphone, it is 10 times easier for the sound engineer to control your voice when you are doing this than this. And when you're doing this, it's not such a problem in here because we're not using like live drums and stuff, but if we were to ever get a live drum set and you're way back here, then they got to turn this mic really far up, and now you're picking up the cymbals and you're picking up the snare pop and stuff like that, and that's going to start causing a lot of issues and feedback and stuff. So you'll also notice that even if I take this and go like 2 inches back, all of a sudden you lose all of the depth and body of my voice that comes back as soon as I go like this. So really, just in simple terms, keep the microphone really close. If you start feeling like, you know, the range is really high and You're getting super loud. You can back off just a smidge, but basically the way these microphones are designed is that for every inch far you go, it basically is picking up less, like half as much of the actual sound going into the capsule. So pretty much with any mics like this, dynamic microphones, you can literally just put it directly up to your lips and sing straight into the capsule. Again, if you're even down here, like I'm literally, an inch off, and it makes a huge difference. So as an audio engineer myself, I can tell you right now it is the absolute worst when someone is not holding the microphone close enough to their mouth, because then I feel like I have to crank the volume in order to hear them. And here's the problem with that. What happens when the vocalist decides, I'm going to put it closer now? You're now blowing everyone's eardrums out.
Right.
So just really the important thing is consistency of where you're putting the microphone. If you are going to go high and it's going to get very loud, you really only need to back off about an inch, maybe 2 inches at the most. And this is where you also use your ears too. Like if you hear yourself in the monitor, just pay attention during rehearsal. How far do I need to go back for me to start noticing how big of a difference that makes? So for me, if I'm singing like a high harmony, it's high enough in my range that I'm feeling like I got to really sing loud, I will back off a bit. But I'm just using my ears and my monitor here to see what is the relationship of my voice with everyone else. So that's, there you go. Simple.
Okay. So we've, just again to review, thinking as far as group dynamics, we want to think of, I'm sorry, let me go back and revisit. So we want to think about the breathing, breathing strategically, not all breathing in the same spot at once, making sure that we're thinking in terms of phrasing, looking at our music and finding the phrases, identifying where trouble spots might be for us personally, but also for us as a group, listening out for that. Entrances and cutoffs, kind of determining where we're going to end a word. And again, usually a lot of this is really intuitive. Most of the time on entrances and cutoffs, we know where to put it, but it happens enough that there are tricky spots that we need to think in terms of just working together as a group and coordinating that. Chord balancing and harmony, making sure that we're giving attention and focus to the melody of the line. And
could I actually jump in real quick on that?
Yeah, absolutely.
I just thought of this. If you hear someone else sing the same harmony as you, probably find a different harmony or sing the melody.
Yep.
So this is actually something where, like, Whitney and I, because she's a soprano and I'm a tenor, our ranges are basically the same but just an octave apart.
Yeah.
And so when we've sung together and she's not leading and I'm not leading, there's a lot of interaction that we've had to have. Like, she's playing guitar, like, I don't know, a month ago. And during rehearsal, we were having conversations almost every single song. Hey, were you singing this thing?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, you were doing, okay, I'll let you do that, so then I'll do something different,
yep,
whether that's melody or whether that's harmony, because that can become very overpowering. So basically, if there is a harmony happening, really only one person should be singing that harmony.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to just make those decisions, whether it's a conversation or intuitive. Like, there is a certain element where sometimes I'll hear she's doing something and I'll immediately hear it. I'll be like, okay, I can't do that. I got to do something else. Maybe I'll just go to melody or something. And whenever in question or in doubt, just go to melody. It's by far the simplest thing to do.
Yeah, and along those lines, if there are tricky spots with harmony, the thought would be, from a leader's perspective, that it would be good to stop and run through parts, and we can figure that out. So again, as Nathan was saying, we're not an island, so we're here to work together. And if there are sticky parts, as there sometimes are, totally appropriate to stop and just kind of hammer out what you're going to do and plan ahead so that everyone kind of knows the direction that it's going. We want to pay attention to chord balancing and harmony. And then dynamics. Again, dynamics is just calibrating the energy and the volume of our sound together as a group collectively to kind of give the soul and the heart to the songs that we're hoping to give.
Actually, just one thing on that. When she's talking about, like, singing soft but still having energy, a lot of that actually comes through the way that you enunciate words, too.
Yeah.
So, for example, on 10,000 Reasons, on that third verse, and on that day when my strength is failing, maybe I could demonstrate, like, just two different ways of singing it softly, and you just use your ears and think for yourself which one is preferable.
And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come.
So that's one. Here's two.
And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come.
Can you tell the difference at all? So a lot of that actually just has to do with how I'm tapering the sound off a little bit and how I'm actually enunciating the words. And so I'm giving a little bit more energy to the words in terms of enunciation. Like I'm kind of chewing on the words a bit more, even though dynamically it's very soft. So that's just like one example of using expression and dynamics together and like phrasing in such a way where like the words aren't just,
and on that day when my strength is failing.
Right, that's kind of boring.
And on that day when my strength is failing.
So those are things that also, like, in a rehearsal setting we can, you know, discuss and talk about. But those are things that, like, when I think about trying to sing something softer, but I still want it to have presence, those are some of the things that I'm thinking through when I'm doing them.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, so what do we have here? Okay, so I was thinking I'd like to put everything together now. So we'll be thinking in terms of individual techniques that we reviewed earlier. And then we'll now be thinking in the space of what we've just talked about here as a group. And what I would like to do is just run through some worship songs, and we'll try to kind of figure out, I'll be listening out for sound, and we'll be working together to listen, to maybe identify things that we could maybe do to work together and apply that. So I would love 4 or 5 volunteers to come up.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. All right. Yes. Okay. Yes. All right. All right. So what? Let's see here. Would we want to do His Mercy Is More? Okay, do you have the words? Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So we're going to do His Mercy Is More. And let's do just verse one and then do the chorus. And then we can just kind of break that down. Okay. Oh, yep, yep, yep. Okay, are you guys seeing those, or could we maybe get that zoomed in just a teeny bit more? Okay. All right, so let's just do a run through, and then we'll discuss. Okay, do you guys have any thoughts based on what we have been talking about? Is there anything that comes to your mind as you're listening to each other and listening to this? Okay.
Timing. Yep. Knowing the song.
Okay. Anything? Mm-hmm. Yep. So I would say the cutoffs were something that I was noticing, and then I was just watching you guys, and the space in your mouth. So I would say if you probably a good way to think through this is we've received a lot of information. If we could just pick one thing from each and kind of apply that now and then try to kind of work that in. So for the flatness, a lot of times the space in the mouth is the issue on that, especially if you're going down in a line, the temptation is to close down the mouth, and then you'll just be flat, and you don't mean to be. So, again, remember the index fingers in between your molars here, and be thinking in terms of, like, as you're singing, like, you're almost like you're biting down on it. And then what do we think as far as cutoffs here? So, yeah, absolutely. Sure. Mm-hmm. So if we're thinking in terms of the time signature and the beats per measure, so this is in 6/8. So let's, if we can, let's clap that out. So we'll clap on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 2, 3. Stronger than darkness, off new every morn. Okay, so let's just do that line, and let's clap in 6/8. So on the 6, so it'll be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, off. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, off. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. And if we're still having a hard time with the S's, we could resolve that on the off, on the 6, you don't have to hiss like a snake, but you kind of put the S there. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. So you're almost slightly accenting it, if that makes sense. So let's clap that out together, trying to get the cutoff on the 6. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Yep, let's try that one more time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Yep. Yep. Okay, so then let's go to the top of the chorus. And remember the cutoff here on Praise the Lord, the first one is shorter. More is more.
More is more.
And laud.
More notes on the word more than you are more.
Yes. Okay. So we'll keep in mind the cutoffs and being together. We'll keep in mind the space to try to help mitigate any flatness, and then we'll particularly keep an eye out for the cutoff for darkness. Okay? So we'll go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm sorry, I'm starting in a weird place. It's
one,
the pickup.
Two,
praise the, yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. Praise the Lord. Great. Yep. That's great. Anything else that you would have?
Sorry, I was just making mistakes there, sorry.
All right, make it so this works out.
Yeah.
Play the right chords. Maybe one note on the board would be O, and K, and then the R. Unless you're from the brass.
Mercy is more.
Yep. And that would be a good spot too, where we're thinking in terms of changing our vowels, particularly because it's higher. Instead of closing down the O, we could do more of an aw, like awesome. And again, you're dropping the R a little bit. So His mercy is more, and then kind of closing a little bit, so you're not saying R. You kind of, yeah, yeah, you could, yep. So, and again, the vowel choice is really more up to you as far as how open you want it to be, depending upon what's going on. I think a good spot would be thinking in terms of that vowel and awesome. So it's not ah, it's more like a aw. But if you, so again, say his mercy is maw.
Ma. Ma is ma. Mowage. Okay, sorry. Let's see here. Let's go ahead and sing it one more time, and let's just focus on the more and see how we can navigate that. One, two, three, four. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. Yep. And so you can see that on the last line, you don't have to open up that vowel quite as much. You can just sing it a little more true to where it would be. The only other thing I would say is on His mercy is more on the first line. I saw a little bit of this. His mercy is more. So we were closing down the space a little bit. So just think in terms of I'm going to have to keep my mouth in the same place, even though I'm going down, because that's going to be the point where you might tend to go a little flat, because again, it's really tempting on lines going down that you're going to just kind of clamp down the mouth space and then the sound will be flat. So His mercy is more. So don't change the space at all, and then you'll see that it'll just come right out. Okay, I think that's good. If you guys want to sit down, thank you so much. All right, do we have any more? Awesome, yes, good job. Great. Okay, so you got it. Say no to butterflies in the name of Jesus. That's okay. So on the adore, I saw just a little bit of clamping down on the O. So say a-da, darling, a-da. Nothing can compare, come let us adore Him. So you can, it doesn't sound like I'm singing a-da. But because you're just hearing the adore, but that's giving you that space. If you're going adore, you're going to run into all kinds of problems. So try that on Nothing Can Compare. Nothing can compare. Come let us adore Him. Yep. Now on that, we'll start from the top. But on the last line of come let us adore Him, that is a longer phrase. So I'm not going to give direction on to who specifically to do what, but think in terms of, is there a spot that I could breathe kind of sneaky that's separate from the rest of the group that would help kind of sustain the sound? Because everyone was kind of stopping a little bit on come let us adore Him. We don't want to do that. So let's start at the top of chorus one. Be thinking in terms, again, I think this space, just be thinking in terms of getting that space, elongating your vowels, particularly as they're up on the top, and then be thinking about a strategic spot to breathe towards the end. Okay? That was much better. Good job, guys. Thank you. Do you have anything?
I just can't hear some great things.
Yeah, that was good. I saw improvement. So there was good staggered breathing there. And I saw more space. Did it feel a little easier to kind of get that out, especially on the higher parts? And Julie, would you want to run through it one more time? I'd love to hear you harmonizing on that. Yeah. 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 Well, I would say we can. I mean, I think there's it's a both and. I think there's conversations that we can have with sound. Yeah. But. Yeah. I think you could do it. I think you could feel confident doing that. So I would, if you'd be willing to do harmony, that would be great. Just for a sound balance, just to even have other listeners kind of hear, because you will not be overpowering, but it'll be great to hear that balance. So we'll start from the top on Behold. So did you hear how the harmony was not overpowering the melody, but that it was really supported by the harmony? So good job. And Evan, that was good too. I saw at the end on a door, you were probably needing a little more space, but then you adjusted. And I saw that. So that was good. Good job. Okay. Very good. Thank you, guys. All right. Okay. Do you guys know the doxology? Okay, you know what? Here's what we'll do. Man. Amen and a women. Okay, can you guys see this? Actually, it's, let's do Amen. So we'll make that a nice, pretty long A. Okay, you guys see that? Okay, so we'll do a run through and then we'll go from there. Okay? Okay. Okay, very good. Okay, so again, I would say what I'm seeing with you guys, probably one of the bigger things would be space. So I want you to take your fingers and put them on your jaw right here. And just, again, remember that feeling when you put your fingers in here. In fact, just go ahead and do that. Put your fingers in here. Like this. Okay, now hold your fingers out. Now feel your jaw. Like back here on your joint. Do you feel how that feels? About the space between your upper mandible here and your lower mandible right there. That's what you want as you're singing. Okay? So let's say the words together like that. And remember, we're thinking in terms of our mouths being a little dropped and elongated. Okay? So we'll go, let's just say it together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Yep. Praise him, all creatures here below. Yep. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Yep. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Keep it open. Ma. Say ma. Put your tongue on the bottom of your teeth. Ma. Yep. Ma. Okay. So one of the voice teachers that I worked with said, just make a dumb face for me. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, just imagine that you're not very smart and you do this. That's kind of the feeling when you're trying to get the feel for more space in your mouth. That you're going to be opening your jaw just a little more than you typically would. So let's start for this run. Let's take our fingers and just put it here so that we can be mindful of what our jaws are doing. If you feel it tight, if you feel that it's tightening up, it'll feel a little more loose. And put your fingers a little more back, Olivia. Yeah, there you go, like back there. You feel? Yep. Okay, so let's do this first run with these fingers on our jawbone, trying to think in terms of really elongating that space out. And we'll just sing it like that the whole time, okay? So I'm going to start. Okay, you ready?
Praise God.
More space, elongate.
Father, Son, and Holy
Ghost. Good job. So you know what I heard that time? That time, there was a lot more sound coming out. Is that what you guys heard too? So you weren't even trying harder, were you? As far as trying to put more air out, the only difference you made was that you put more space in your mouth, and the sound, the first time, how many of you guys heard them the first time when they were singing it through? How many of you heard them the second time going through? Yeah, so you have people in the back that are saying that they heard you. So you can see what a difference that makes when you're thinking in terms of the space. So let's do that one more time. This time we're going to take our hands off. But I want you again to think in terms of, even to the point of feeling silly, opening up your mouth and elongating it, especially on the vowels like flow, below, hosts, ghost. Keep your mouth really long and just think in terms of keeping that space there as you're singing it, okay? So we'll start from the top again.
Praise God from
longer. Good job, guys. I'm hearing much improvement. All right. Anything else that you have for them? Okay. Good job. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Okay. So I think, unless Adam has any closing thoughts, I think thus concludes. I think thus concludes the workshop. I'm happy to open it up for a Q&A if you guys have any questions on it. But even beyond that today, if there's any questions you guys have, or as you're kind of thinking on things and something's coming up, feel free to talk to me or Adam or Nathan about anything we've talked about today, and we'd love to be available to help and answer anything that we can.
Yeah, I will say just a couple things. So one is just remember I have these little forms, because as a college professor, I love to have forms of feedback that I can promptly ignore. yeah, Peg knows what I'm talking about. Dylan knows what I'm talking about. But I'm serious. You know, just a place for you to put down a few comments of what helped, what you might like to know more about, what you might like to see in the future. That's the purpose of those forms. We are planning to do more things like this. I don't know if it'll be vocal focus. That's something we're planning, something we'd like to do more of, just don't have the details figured out. And then for those of you who are interested in continuing this, we're also trying to figure out kind of how we can have you maybe like attend music team rehearsals, you know, if you're wanting to. Okay, so that's on our radar. If you have questions about that, you can talk to me about that. But it's something we're thinking about. We're trying to figure out. It's we're actively in the process of trying to figure out how we're going to do that, because we want to do that to not just lose momentum. You know, if you learn things here today, it's not going to mean much if you don't practice them for the next several weeks or months or whatever. So we want to do that. And then again, just to circle back to something from earlier, for those of us who are already on the team, you know, these sorts of things. I feel like when we talk about them, a lot of people have lots of thoughts. And they're like, I'm hearing this and this and this and this. And it's usually not that we're not aware of things. It's just we've got a lot to do in a short period of time. It's going to be very difficult. Yeah. So I guess what I would ask is just that we can be open about having those conversations, try and be grace-filled in them. You know, when I'm hearing something, again, as I talked about with my own personal experience from earlier, when I'm hearing something, you know, this is with the full understanding that I am not Pavarotti or in my preference, like Matt Bellamy or Chris Cornell, but that's another deal. Right. So I'm not coming at things from a super experienced, super talented place, but I still can hear things, as can we all. So, but we have to be grace-filled in how we talk about those. Hopefully this gives us some tools to talk about those things, even in our conversations of, you know, phrasing, endings, startings, you know, when we're hearing pitch issues, when we're hearing volume issues between melody and harmony. But yeah, so let's just try and maintain open communication about that on rehearsals. But again, rehearsals, you know, part of the challenge for someone like me is I'm also doing three other things in addition to vocals. And so we've got a lot to accomplish. We've got a lot to figure out. Mm-hmm. And so that can be the challenge. That's why some of these things don't get addressed at that time. It's not that nobody notices them or that nobody's thinking about them. It's just we have a lot to do. So what I'm trying to emphasize here is, number one, we're trying. Number two, let's just try and be open about it and be grace-filled in how we are working through that. So any other questions for Whitney and Nathan?
Well, and I think that running through what we did today would be a good leg up on that, because if we're even using the same terminology, we have the same goals in mind as far as what we can look out for to troubleshoot, and we're aware of that on our own and working on that, then when we come, we now have a point of reference that we can say, it looks like maybe we need to get a little more space here in our mouths, or it looks like our cutoffs here are not gelling so great, or we need to breathe, we need to rethink breathing. So, yes, and I appreciate your comment, because on the weeks when I'm leading, that's just a good word to me that maybe it would be worth structuring practice so that there's a little bit of time to just hear vocals on their own to kind of shore things up and make sure that everyone is on the same page, so that when you're combining the instrumentals with the vocals, because I do think there's a way in which vocals can kind of get lost if there's a lot of stuff going on instrumentally. And then maybe we just don't kind of focus on it. So I really appreciate your comment on that. Is there any other questions or comments or anything? Okay, well, thank you guys for coming. I appreciate your time and I appreciate your willingness to learn, and it's been a real pleasure, and love to see you again. Hopefully we'll see you tomorrow. So.